It's been a mixed week of news for the economy. Listen.
It probably won't be until 2013 that we see the market really show signs of more fundamental firming.
I think at this point what it does is gives people certain amount of uncertainty.
We remain prepared to do more as needed to make sure that this recovery continues.
This year will be a recovery, but, you know, off a very low threshold.
So housing sales are up. That's great news. Gas prices are down, but they're still much, much higher than they were a year ago. So that's maybe a wash for now. Jobless claims up slightly. That's bad news. It's really hard to put a finger on whether the recovery is progressing or crawling or stumbling, but one thing is clear, the presidential fortunes of President Obama and Mitt Romney are tied directly to the economy, or maybe more accurately, I should say, to how people feel about the economy. Listen to Mitt Romney.
Because he has failed, he will run a campaign of diversions and distractions and distortions. That kind of campaign may have worked at another place and in a different time, but not here and not now. It's still about the economy, and we're not stupid.
Remarkable, isn't it? Mitt Romney channeling Bill Clinton, in a way, from campaigns past. It's about the economy, and Americans aren't stupid. Well, you have to look at the swing states, of course. That's where presidential elections are won and lost these days. Job growth in Pennsylvania and 13 other swing states, sluggish, well below the national average. That's according to data published in the Financial Times. That could be a major cause for concern for President Obama in November. It would have to be. Motoko Rich is economics reporter for our partner in the New York Times and joins me now. Hi, Motoko.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. We have to talk about presidential fortunes in a second, but set the table for us on economics news that's come out this week. Some good, some awash, some bad. What's the picture here?
Well, it's interesting because we're now in the third straight year of our recovery officially, and we're also looking to be in the third straight year where we had a pretty good winter and then something that looks like a bit of a spring slowdown. And so that's really worrisome. And as you mentioned in your intro, one of the worrisome data that came out yesterday was that jobless claims, i.e. people claiming for unemployment benefits, has been slowly crawling back up, which is obviously not the direction we want to go in. It's not exactly clear whether that's because there was some extra activity earlier in the year because of the relatively good weather and that things have slowed down as the weather has sort of not been, it has been a little bit mixed. And I think it'll take another couple weeks before we see how that turns out. We also had new home sales fall in March, although they are up a year over year. So again, the housing market is really, really taking a long time to recover. We just entered into such a big hole that it's going to take a long time to come back. And the signals are mixed, as you said. One of the relatively good signs this week was that contracts signed for existing homes has increased by about 4%, but the new home sales are down. So again, that's a mixed, and housing prices are still falling. So that's all a kind of mixed picture on housing. In terms of employment, March was a bit of a disappointment. There had been a surge December, January, February in terms of new hiring, and then in March it kind of was back down to levels that barely keep up with population growth.
Yeah. So new job creation, the last figure that you mentioned, Motoko Rich, continues to improve. We get positive numbers in the, you know, 180,000s or 200,000s,
right,
or something like that.
We've had 25 months of jobs.
Right, but the issue is population growth and expectation. And as we go into the summer, I hear from a lot of Democrats, obviously, who want to see those numbers as high as possible because they want a good table for President Obama's reelection, who are concerned that if we kind of limp along at 180,000 per month, 200,000 per month, that's not going to be the kind of adrenaline that they need politically to convince the country that we're on the march.
Right. Well, it's also not the kind of adrenaline that we need to actually make sure that the economy is on.
I know. I'm just thinking about politics. You're here to actually
right.
talk about the economy. Sorry.
Right. But no, fair enough. It's a difficult difficult for the both sides, I think. For the Obama campaign, obviously, you would want in the third year of recovery to things to be much, much stronger than they are. You wanted to have a takeoff. The problem is when you look, if you talk to economists, everyone would sort of agree that this is the kind of recession that was unprecedented since the Great Depression. It was always going to take a very long time to come out of it, and then both sides can argue whose policies would accelerate that.
What are the key data points for Governor Romney, since he's going to be the nominee, on a negative economy for the president? Sure, we just talked about jobless claims. It seems to me the economy can get more personal for individual voters in their personal economy. Consumer prices, gas prices, certainly taxes. What are the key parts of the consumer economy that Mitt Romney is going to be able to use here against the president?
Well, definitely he's been hammering home about gas prices, but there's also the housing market is such a huge part of our economy, and it's dragged down the recovery for so long. And if people are trying to say you're on the verge of retirement and you want to sell your home, but you can't because there are so many foreclosed homes on the market down the street, that's really going to be very personal. Or if you're a recent college graduate trying to get a job and you're finding it very difficult to find something in your chosen profession, that's very personal. The other thing that you had mentioned was the kind of unemployment rates and the job creation in the swing states, and I was just quickly glancing at the numbers in Ohio. And what's interesting there is that the unemployment rate in Ohio is actually lower than the national rate. It's down around 7%. But I also looked at the number of employed people in the state has fallen. So one of the concerns, and this is also true nationally, is that as the unemployment rate comes down, the question is, you know, what's the balance between that happening because more people are getting jobs and that people are actually just giving up and dropping out?
Meanwhile, I've had Republicans in Washington from swing states, industrial states like Wisconsin and Michigan, Republicans now say that there's an overall sense of enthusiasm among working people because the auto industry has recovered, manufacturing is recovering in some ways, and that, in fact, a lot of people feel enthusiastic.
Right. No, that's a fair point. Actually, manufacturing has been all along kind of the surprise leader in job creation. Lost a huge amount of jobs over the recession, more than 2.5 million jobs were lost. But they've recovered almost 500,000. And in some places, like you mentioned, Michigan, actually the unemployment rate has come down quite a bit.
Yeah.
And with the auto sales bouncing back, there is some optimism.
Motoko, this is truly a mixed bag. And it tells me as a political guy that we are in for a boatload of spin on the economy from both sides. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Motoko Rich, economics reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.